Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. It's Wednesday, March 4th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. And I know what you may be thinking, Dr. Lanier, you don't sound very healthy today. I am a bit under the weather, but I will do the best I can, and I hope that my voice will hold out for the show today. We air every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen in live, or you can tune in whenever is most convenient for you, as all of the shows are archived on my Blog Talk Radio page. For more information on me and the services I offer, please go to my website, which is www.drdiolanier.com, spelled out, that's www.drdiolanier.com. Last week, we completed our complementary and alternative medicine series, talked about chiropractic and the benefits of that. And today we are starting with our Health and Wellness in the News series, and today we are talking about nutrition in the news. I actually came across an excellent article, actually, and it is from the website www.healthassist.net, healthassist.net, and the title of the article is Foods of Mass Destruction, 8 Foods That May Ruin Your Health. That was actually the title of the article, and so to say that it is strongly worded would be an understatement, but it definitely got my attention. And this website has a lot of great information on nutrition, as well as other topics as well. So I would like to give you the information from this article because I thought it was very informative, and I think the information will be helpful. So in the article, Foods of Mass Destruction, 8 Foods That May Ruin Your Health, they listed a series of foods, and they talked about why they may be a problem for us if we're trying to be as healthy as we can. And they went on to list those problems. There are 2 versions of the article. There's the abbreviated version, which gives you the quick rundown. And then they also have the full version of the article, which I think is really good. It also, in that full version, lists the resources, references and sources that they got the information from, and many of the articles were scientifically based, and they were pulled from PubMed, so I think that's great. If you're curious about where some of the sources came from, it was very well listed in terms of references, so you can pull the full version of that article in order to get all the information about where the sources are from on it. But basically, most of the foods that were on the list were really loaded with calories, salts, as well as artificial flavors. They also had sweeteners, factory-created fats, so things like hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated fats are what they were referring to for that, as well as artificial colorings and chemicals that alter the texture, as well as preservatives. Were all contained on the foods that were on the list. And also, in addition to having those things that are not healthy for us, a lot of the foods on that list didn't really, you know, include a lot of vitamins and minerals, so they didn't have a lot of nutritional value to them while they were adding all of these things that were not really good for us. So if we're thinking about it, I don't want you to think that you can never, ever have these things. So an occasional hamburger or a can of cola is not really going to be awful for you. But if you consume those items and things on these items frequently, they can tend to cause some health problems that I'll also discuss as I go through the article. And so as you're going through your diet and thinking of how you want to eat healthier and what kind of things you may want to add more of and what you might want to cut down on, I would consider and recommend that you cut down on these foods that I'm going to recommend. The first on the list was French fries, and they said that even homemade French fries are very unhealthy food. I'll tell you why in a minute, but French fries are loaded with calories as well as sodium and fats. And the average portion of French fries, which is about 170 grams, contains 30 grams of fat, up to 1,200 milligrams of sodium, and 550 calories. And this All of those things can really contribute to obesity and being overweight, as well as having high cholesterol and heart disease in general. So French fries are cooked in ultra-hot oil, which is usually high in trans fats. And many of the fast food restaurants use trans fats in order to deep fry their foods, because if you have an oil that has trans fats, you can use the oil many times in the commercial fryers that they have in those establishments. So trans fats are twice as dangerous for the heart as saturated fat. And why is that, you may ask? Trans fats are a result of a process called hydrogenation, and that's what they were referring to when they said factory-created fats. But hydrogenation is a process that adds hydrogen to the oil, and it converts liquid fats, such as plant oils, like canola oil and things of that nature, to solid fats. Or even semi-solid. So basically you're turning plant-based healthy oil into one that is unhealthy. And trans fats have been shown in many studies to increase bad cholesterol, which is the LDL cholesterol, as well as increasing triglyceride levels and insulin levels, and reducing the good cholesterol, or HDL cholesterol, and all of that promotes heart attacks as well as stroke. So that's really the problem with trans fats. Now, there is some evidence that high amounts of trans fats aren't safe for pregnant women. And recent studies have shown that high consumption of trans fats is associated with fetal loss, as well as the risk of preeclampsia, which is dangerous for the baby and the mother. So researchers have also suggested that trans fatty acids can affect intrauterine growth due to the inhibition of the conversion of essential fatty acids, which we need by desaturase enzymes. So that was what they thought was contributing to the problems in pregnant women as well as in fetuses. Now, potatoes are a food that have a high glycemic index. So that means that they are rapidly converted to glucose, and that raises the insulin levels. So if you're taking in a large amount of potatoes and French fries, it's associated with an increased risk of diabetes. Excuse me. Now, acrylamide content is another negative feature of this food. Now, you may be wondering, Dr. Lear, what is acrylamide? Well, acrylamide is a known carcinogen and a neurotoxin, and it's formed in foods during high-temperature processes like frying, baking, roasting, and extrusion. And although acrylamide is known to form during industrial processing of food, high levels of the chemical are also found in home-cooked foods, and that's mainly in cooked potatoes as well as cooked grains. Now, acrylamide levels in home-prepared foods tend to grow with increased cooking time and temperature. So if you raise the temperature and you increase the amount of time that you're cooking things, especially at a high temperature, levels can go up of that. And so the content of acrylamide usually is listed in micrograms per serving. And in some commercial items, I'm going to go ahead and give you the amount of micrograms per serving. And all of this data was from the Center for Science and Public Interest. So the first was Orida. And before I even give you that information, I just want to take a little mental note for you to have in the back of your mind as I go through this list. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency allows no more than 0.12 micrograms of acrylamide in an 8-ounce glass of water. So 0.12 micrograms, and that's how much they want to cut it off at in a glass of water. So now I'll tell you how many micrograms per serving are in some French fries. The Orida French fry brand, uncooked, 3 ounces, so it's a smaller amount, is 5 micrograms per serving. The Orida French fries baked is actually 28 grams, so it's more of the acrylamide. And I think it's because it's a longer amount of time at the high temperature. Usually when you're cooking fries, you may need to do that for a longer time. Wendy's Biggie Fries, 5.6 ounce, is 39 micrograms per serving of acrylamide. Burger King Fries, a large, which is 5.7 ounces, is 59. micrograms per serving of acrylamide, and topping the list is, oh, my children will be so sad, but it is true, McDonald's French fries. Unfortunately, they don't have large at all. And usually we get the apples, but a large French fries is 6.2 ounces, and it has 82 micrograms per serving of acrylamide. And all of those numbers are compared to the amount of 0.2 micrograms. So it's definitely something to think about when you're thinking about French fries, and I'm sure all of that information is why French fries top their list. The second on the list was burgers, and hamburgers, cheeseburgers, sandwiches, et cetera, all of those are really a source of unnecessary calories and fat, and they don't have much in the way of nutritional value because they don't have vitamins and minerals as well as fiber, depending on the bread you're using. Most of the time when you're having a burger, you're not going to have a high-fiber bread with it in most cases. And so there's a lack of fiber there as well. And there is a difference among restaurants in terms of the fat and calories content of burgers depending on cooking methods and the ingredients that you're using. So a regular hamburger with condiments, vegetables like lettuce and tomato, and without mayonnaise has about 280 calories. And more than 13 grams of fat. And if you frequently consume hamburgers, that really can be associated with weight gain and obesity in the United States. And then there, you know, are foods that really can influence your body fat distribution. And when researchers took a look at it, they found that a high intake of hamburgers is associated with abdominal obesity in women, so that the kind of fat in the middle is associated with a high intake of hamburgers or burgers. So burgers have a lot of saturated fat and trans fat. And so everything that I mentioned with the French fries is also true with burgers. So you're going to see an increase in your total cholesterol levels, the bad HDL cholesterol, increase in the risk for heart disease, as well as a decrease in your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, and as well as the problems that you can see with human fetuses and the effect on newborn children. Also, hamburgers contain the flavor enhancer MSG, or monosodium glutamate, which causes, you know, several reactions, but some include headaches and allergic reactions. And also they found that MSG is a chemical that is used to fatten up laboratory animals. And so there's some evidence that suggests it will ultimately make you fat when you consume it as well. And I think one important thing to point out is that most burgers contain 1,000 milligrams of sodium, which is 45% of your daily value that you need. So I mentioned before that we need about 2,400 milligrams of sodium on average, unless you have problems with high blood pressure and you typically need less. But that's almost half of the regular amount. So that can really promote water retention and high blood pressure with taking that much sodium, you know, just in one meal, not including how much you're going to have for the rest of the day. The third on the list is soft drinks. The sooner you exclude it from your diet, the better, they say in this article. And in case you are just joining me, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dia Lanier. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're talking about nutrition in the news, and we're specifically talking about an article that I found on www.healthassist.net. And that was called The Foods of Mass Destruction, 8 Foods That May Ruin Your Health. I'm on the third right now, and that's soft drinks. Now, an average 325-milliliter can of soda, so a regular can of soda, has 10 teaspoons of sugar, and it's about 150 calories. It contains 30 to 55 milligrams of caffeine, as well as artificial food colors and sulfites. So besides contributing to numerous health problems, soda also often replaces healthy beverage choices. So you see people that may have that one bottle, and they just drink it till it's gone, and they grab another bottle or another can. And so that's actually taking up where they could be having water if they're thirsty, or if you're able to tolerate milk. and getting calcium that way. Also, there aren't any nutritionally beneficial components to soft drinks, but the average American drinks about 57 gallons of soft drinks each year, even though there's no nutritional value to it. So a common problem that's associated with consuming a large amount of soft drinks is the increased acid levels throughout the body. Now, most soft drinks contain citric, phosphoric, and malic or tartaric acids. And these acids are what give the sodas that little refreshing bite or the little sting that as soon as you take the drink, it's like, you know, you have to like go, ah, you know, like a lot going on with the soda. But at the same time, when they do that, they also preserve the quality and the sweetness of the drink. So all soft drinks are very acidic. But dark colas like Coke and Pepsi are much more acidic. And I've mentioned before that the phosphoric acid actually trades off with the calcium in your body. So if you're not taking in the calcium that you need, you wind up, getting rid of the calcium in your body, usually through your urine. And if it's not replaced, then you can tend to see problems with your bones. Also, prolonged increases in acid levels will cause erosion of the gastric lining, which is painful and can get in the way of proper digestion. Also, soft drinks harm your teeth, and researchers say that soft drinks are responsible for doubling or tripling the incidence of tooth decay, and the sugar and acid in soft drinks easily dissolves the tooth enamel, which is what's on your teeth protecting it. Soft drink consumption is also a significant risk factor for the development of metabolic syndrome, and that's a combination of the symptoms such as high blood pressure, obesity, high cholesterol, and insulin resistance. And so sugar-sweetened soft drinks contain a large amount of sugar, and they contribute to the risk of diabetes as a result of that. Soft drink, and I briefly talked about this a few minutes ago, but they have a negative effect on your bone mineral density and can contribute to osteoporosis. And so sometimes we see even young people who drink so many sodas, they can have a problem with maintaining their bone density, and so that causes that problem. The scientific way of explaining that is that the phosphoric acid that's in the soda upsets the body's calcium phosphorus ratio and dissolves the calcium rapidly, and so that's what the cause of the premature osteoporosis is. And frequently adolescents who consume soft drinks are at increased risk of bone fractures as a result of that compared to adolescents who do not consume a large amount of sodas. That is the third topping the list. Another thing that they've mentioned is that there are artificial sweeteners. Also, big user they mentioned saccharin. Aspartame. Let's see, widely used in diet sodas, and they are much cheaper than using sugar, and you tend to see those in the diet sodas, the artificial sweeteners. And so they, in addition to having these artificial sweeteners, they also include preservatives, which are added to soft drinks in order to prevent spoilage. So if you're wondering why the soft drinks can last and last, on the shelves in the supermarket, they do have preservatives in order to prevent spoilage and prolong the shelf life. And so storage conditions and time can really affect the taste and the flavor, and the preservatives help to preserve that. Artificial flavorings are also commonly used in making soft drinks to give each flavor its distinctive taste. And so these have been shown to cause some adverse effects on hyperactive children and really should be taken out of their diet. If you have a child that's hyperactive and drinking sodas, you definitely should consider removing those from the diet. Okay, the next on the list are donuts. Donuts are really good. They're appetizing, but they really have no nutritional value. They are loaded with trans fats or damaged fats as a result of that deep frying that's done with the donuts. And we mentioned the problems that you can see with having the trans fats in your diet. And so donuts is not really a good thing to have, and especially if you start adding things to the donut. I'm not sure what they're talking about in particular, but you have the plain, you have the glaze, and then you can start sticking in cream items and everything on them. But I think across the board, donuts are not really the best option for you to have, especially starting out the day. Number five on their list were hot dogs. Now, hot dogs are high in calories, fats, as well as nitrates. And all of those make hot dogs an unhealthy choice. They also don't have much in the way of nutritional benefit and may be called empty calories, actually. Now, regular hot dogs, and these are ones that are either made of pork or maybe even beef, they contain 13 or more grams of fat per serving and don't provide much in the way of protein. So you may think that, hot dog, it's a meat product, and you may be thinking, oh, I'll get protein from it. But if you really look on the back of the package, there's not much in the way of protein, especially when you compare it to the fat content. Also, hot dog meat may contain mutagenic heterocyclic amines. So those are proven to be carcinogens. And those compounds are formed during the cooking of the meat. And so there were a team of chemists from the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and they found that DNA mutating compounds occurred in hot dogs when examples from those bought in the supermarket were mixed with nitrites. And then those doubled, tripled, and quadrupled when salmonella bacteria was added to the mix. So something to keep in mind. In order to increase shelf life and preserve flavor, processed foods tend to contain trans fats, like hydrogenated fats, and those take a longer amount of time to go rancid due to their stability. So the food industry creates trans fats so that regular products are naturally greasy and oily won't look that way when you buy them at the store. And so a review done by the Harvard School of Public Health noted that trans fats have twice the undesirable effects of saturated fats, and I mentioned some of those. There's also clear evidence that frequent consumption of processed meats like hot dogs and sausages are associated with increased risk of diabetes. And hot dogs are also prone to carry the bacteria called Listeria that causes foodborne illness. And last but not least, don't forget the sodium or the salt in hot dogs. There's high salt content that's, again, going to promote water retention. And then sodium nitrate or sodium nitrite is a preservative that's used, as well as coloring and flavoring in hot dogs and other processed meat. So all of those contribute to the unhealthy factor of it all. Sixth on the list is bacon. So fat, and more fat is what they mention in this article, and it's not really a meat. It's fat, mostly fat. Fried bacon can drastically increase the level of cholesterol, and it's also high in salt and full of both nitrites and nitrates. And a recent U.S. study has linked eating cured meat like bacon and hot dogs with increased risk of lung disease. And nitrites are added to cured meat as a preservative, color, or as antibacterial agents, and they're thought to generate reactive nitrogen species in the body, so molecules that cause structural damage to the lung tissue in a similar way of emphysema, which is a form of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So that is actually troubling to hear. And again, the resources and sources for the article were listed in the full version of it. So frequent consumption of red meat, especially bacon and hot dogs, may increase your risk of developing diabetes as well. Seventh on the list was chips, corn chips, potato chips. My husband will be sad to hear tortilla chips. We love our blue chips. but literally, they have no nutritional value. And all of them contain harmful levels of sodium and fat. Fried potato products such as French fries and chips may contain a substantial amount of carcinogenic substances like acrylamide, which we talked about earlier. And according to some studies, And as we saw, actually, in foods like French fries and potato chips, acrylamide is present in the amount, like about 300 times more than the safe limits recommended by WHO, or the World Health Organization. And so although acrylamide content does not appear in the dietary nutritional information that goes with packaging, that's something that's important to note. Also, the same way that we went down the fries, acrylamide is also very high in things like Tostitos tortilla chips, and even Honey Nut Cheerios has 5 micrograms per acrylamide. Lay's potato chips, Pringles, baked Lay's also have a high amount of that. And chips also contain added trans fat. They have shortenings, which are hydrogenated oils, in order to provide that crispy texture. And the trans fats are used in order to increase that shelf life. So all of those are what make chips not the best option for us. And then they mentioned that chips containing olestra can be even more dangerous to your health than regular chips. So that's important to note. The last on the list are cakes and cookies. So many cakes and cookies combine all three whites together, and that's white sugar, white flour, and fat, white fat, and so in the form of shortening. And so although these foods frequently contain artificial colors, artificial flavors and preservatives, as well as texturizing and processing agents. They also have other additives that further detract from their nutritional benefits, as well as from your health. And so cakes, cookies, crackers, pies, and bread are the major food sources of trans fats in the American adult. And so that's something that I think is important to point out. I think we know back in the day when we had Twinkies and all of the little cakes, and you really weren't thinking much about this. But now that we know more about the food preparation, and especially the adding of trans fats for a lot of these foods in order to increase the shelf life, we're seeing more and more problems coming up from eating those things. And if you're looking for something in order to make that, it might be a good option to try to make a healthier version of those using whole wheat flour and other things that are a little bit more healthy for us. I did want to go back before we head out today to mention one other thing about the soda that they mentioned here. And one last thing on the soda is that most of the soft drinks contain an inorganic sodium, and sodium is used as an emulsifying, stabilizing, and thickening agent in order to ensure that the contents of the soft drink are kept evenly distributed so that you don't have separation. So that was one other thing I forgot to mention in the soft drinks. And so that is the end of the list, and I will run down them quickly before we end up today. The foods of mass destruction, 8 foods that may ruin your health, topping the list at number 1 were French fries, number 2, burgers, number 3, soft drinks, number 4, donuts, number 5, hot dogs, number 7, chips, and number 8, cakes and cookies. So if you can limit or remove those from your diet, that will be best for you. And again, that article was from healthassist.net. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please join us next week when we will continue with health and wellness in the news. Take care, and I hope you have a great week. God bless, and continue to be healthy.